Someday soon, my Savior will call out my name.
Welcome to Believing the Bible with Someday Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the Word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
Thank you again for joining me today. I do pray that this broadcast is a blessing to you. I hope you'll get your Bible out and search the Word with me. We at Grace Family Bible Church want to display the attitude of a Berean. The noble Bereans received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily to see whether the things Paul said were true. I want you not to take my word for it. I want you to check out the Scriptures and see the truth. There are a lot of people today that are waiting for a judgment. But if you're saved by grace through faith, you've already been judged. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, and so are you. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing that He died for your sins, you are crucified with Christ. You stand before God judicially, having been found guilty, sentenced to death, executed, and God was satisfied with the payment for sin that was paid through Jesus Christ. And He raised Him up from the dead, and so you stand before God with His righteousness in Christ, if He's your Savior. There is no judgment for sin for you that are saved. In fact, all the sins are paid for. If you'll simply believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can receive the righteousness of God. The only thing waiting for believers in Christ is judgment for the work that we do after we're saved. Sins are not the issue. Sins are paid for. But a work, a lifetime of living for Christ's sake, and the works that we do will be measured as a work when we stand before the Lord, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice in verse 9, wherefore we labor, that means to work, that whether we be present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. That is, we are doing things in order that our labor would be acceptable of God. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The judgment seat of Christ concerns the things done in the body, whether good or bad, in connection to our labor. Notice, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. There's the word again, labor. We're working and we're building something. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. That is, Paul laid this foundation. And another buildeth thereon. We're the ones building on the foundation. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul laid the foundation, and we build upon that foundation. The foundation is Christ. But we need to take care how we build on that foundation, because not everything you do in your body is a work that will be judged good. Some of the work we do is bad, and the bad work isn't necessarily a sin. You may be involved in some program that does good for people, helping the poor, caring for the needy, whatever that may be. And those are good things. But if you're not doing it for Christ's sake, it isn't necessarily going to be a good work. Or you may be very religious in that which you're doing, and you're saved, but you're involved in a system that's not preaching the truth, and you're working in that system. That wouldn't be a good work if it's causing confusion and teaching some other gospel. The foundation is Jesus Christ, and Paul laid it. He's your apostle, the apostle of the Gentiles. The gospel he preached is the gospel of Christ. If you're preaching another gospel, you're not building upon the foundation he laid. Notice with me again in verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Then the quantity of the work is not on trial. The quality of the work is to be judged. The work is going to be judged to either be gold, silver, and precious stones, which have value, or wood, hay, and stubble, which burn up. What we strive for is work that will be gold, silver, and precious stones. When gold and silver are tried by fire, when it's burned, it's melted down and purified. What comes out is a better product. It's been refined. When wood, hay, and stubble are burned, they burn up and they are destroyed. We don't want our work to be destroyed at the judgment seat of Christ. We want it to come out the other side of the fire, gold, silver, precious stones. That which abides the fire is the work. Verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Then the judgment seat of Christ is for reward concerning the work that we do. Sins are paid for, but the work is left to be done. And we ought to live our lives worthy of the calling wherewith we've been called, in order that the work we do abides the fire. If we do that, and the work is good, we receive a reward. Verse 15 says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Then the work that burns up suffers loss. It's not loss of salvation. The verse says, he himself shall be saved. It must be, in the context, loss of reward. What is our reward? Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's pressing toward a mark, and it is for a prize. He also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in connection to preaching the gospel, verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Again, he mentions a prize. It's in connection to a reward. A person running a race runs for a prize. Look in verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. In other words, in order to gain a prize, you have to temper your body. You have to train or do the things you need to do in order to gain that mastery. Continuing in verse 25. Now they do it, those who run in a race, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Then we are running to obtain a crown. Just as one who runs a race looks for that crown, we are pressing toward a prize, a reward, and it is a crown. It's called a crown of righteousness. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew the date that he was going to die. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul pressed toward the prize, and it was a crown. And he saw the day when he would receive that crown. Paul knew the date of his execution at some point in his life. He was executed in prison. And since he knew he was going to die, he wrote these words, saying, "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." We have the righteousness of God in Christ, but the crown of righteousness is the result of fighting a good fight, finishing the course, and keeping the faith. Paul said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith." Then the good work is going to be based upon those three things. Fighting a good fight. Are we laboring for the Lord, or are we compromising the truth? Are we striving together for the gospel, or are we acquiescing to the religious system of the world? Then he says, "I finish my course." Don't give up. Don't stop serving the Lord. And then he says, "I've kept the faith." He didn't depart from the faith. He never stopped teaching the truth of the Word of God, rightly divided. A labor that measures up to those three criteria would be a good work, work that would abide the fire, work that will be found to be gold, silver, precious stones. And what are crowns made of anyway? At least earthly crowns. They're made of gold, silver, and precious stones. Well, we don't strive to obtain a corruptible crown, as you would find in the world. Our crown is that crown of glory, which we'll receive, and the gold, silver, and precious stones would be something eternal. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him," referring to Christ. Verse 12, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." If we suffer, that is, for Christ's sake, we shall also reign with him. That's R-E-I-G-N. That means to rule, like a king or queen. Reign with him. If we suffer for Christ's sake, we'll reign with him. We would reign because we loved his appearing and obtained the crown, that crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give us. Loving his appearing means we look forward to the day the Lord is going to come back, appearing in the clouds, and we're working together for that day. It says if we deny him, he also will deny us. In the context, it's suffering and reign. If we deny him the suffering, that is, serving the Lord, standing for the truth, fighting a good fight, keeping the faith, he also will deny us the reign. Not everyone will receive that crown. Some of the work will be wood, hay, and stubble, and it will burn up. The work has to do with people hearing the gospel of Christ. If you're saved, it's because somebody loved you enough to tell you the truth. Here's a song that talks about the precious jewels that are in the crown that we receive in glory.
I was so blind and lost in this world when you told me how the Lord had set me free and how Jesus died to pay the wages of sin. Then you showed me how that debt was paid for me. Now I'm a part of God's dear family. I want to thank you for sharing the gospel with me. Diamonds and emeralds, rubies and pearls, the salvation of each saint is a precious stone in this world. And you've had to move tons of earth just to find the ones who will receive him as you dig this mine. And when you stand before that righteous judge and he gives a crown to you, I'll be a jewel in that crown, because you loved me, showed me the truth. A precious stone in this world, and you've had to move tons of earth just to find the ones who will receive him as you dig this mine. And when you stand before that righteous judge and he gives a crown to you, I'll be a jewel in that crown, because you loved me and showed me the truth. God will get the glory for the work that you have done, and your crown will shine forever to the praises of His precious stone in this world, and you've had to move tons of earth just to find the ones who will receive him as you dig this mine. And when you stand before that righteous judge and he gives a crown to you, I'll be a jewel in that crown, 'cause you loved me. I'm so glad you cared enough to witness to me. I'm a jewel in your crown, because you loved me and showed me the truth.
Yes, the crown we receive will be as a result of the work we did for Christ's sake that led others to come to believe on Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The jewels in the crowns. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writes, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." My joy and crown. He likened the Philippians unto his crown. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he also writes, "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." We should be working and pressing toward the crown, because that crown is received for the work that we did that brought others to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him as their Savior. That crown will bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the glory that we receive in Him. It's His glory for the work that we did. And not everybody will receive that crown. As Paul wrote back in 2 Timothy chapter 4, there was laid up for him a crown of righteousness, not for him only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. If we love his appearing, we will redeem the time and find ways to share the gospel of Christ in order that others might be saved. If we're doing that, our affection is not on the things of this life. The book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1 says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Well, if you love his appearing, you're going to set your affection on things above. What's above? Well, that crown is above. That crown of rejoicing is something we as saved individuals should be pressing toward, because it means that others will be saved. We're talking about a burden for saving souls. We're talking about a heart bent towards evangelism. You may not be a preacher, but you can find something to do with the gifts that God gave you in order that we can bring about the filling up of the body of Christ, which means men and women are getting saved, baptized into that one body by one Spirit, and we will one day be caught up in that one hope of our calling. We'll then stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive for the things done in our body, whether it be good or bad. And if any man's work abide the fire, he shall receive a reward. The work that ends up being gold, silver, precious stones will be the work that is rewarded. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him," that is, dead in Christ, dead with him, "we shall also live with him," and that's in glory when he comes to receive us. Now, verse 12 is what I'm after. "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." The suffering is in connection to living godly. The Bible says, "Yea, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Now, the persecution may not be in the form of a physical. It could be rejection from your family members or being rejected by the church people that you've known because you took a stand for the truth of the Word of God rightly divided and the gospel of the grace of God. You rejected religion and you clung to the truth in God's Word. You might suffer persecution for that. And yet, if you suffer for Christ's sake, it says, "we shall also reign with him." And that's R-E-I-G-N, reign as in a king or queen reigns. Paul said there's laid up for him a crown of righteousness. What do kings wear? They wear crowns. Crowns are symbolic of their rule and their power. Well, if we're going to reign with Jesus Christ, we're going to have a crown. Don't think you're pressing to have a crown so you can be glorified. It's the glory of the Lord that's at issue here. In Revelation chapter 19, there's a reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ, and that's not the rapture. That's when he comes back to this earth to destroy the enemies of God, and he'll pour out his judgment and wrath upon the world. But the Bible says that when he returns, he'll be on a white horse, and on his head are many crowns. Now, I don't know of a certainty where those crowns came from. I know that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But what if one of those crowns was the crown that you received for the work you did for Christ's sake, studded with jewels that are the salvation of the individuals with whom you shared the gospel of Christ? If you could add another crown to his glory, would you do it? You can't do anything to pay the Lord back for what he did for you at Calvary, but what if we could have an effect on the glory he'll receive when he returns by working today, living and walking a life worthy of this calling in order that men might be saved, and it will redound to the glory of God, meaning it will sound back, it will be forced to come back to him. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Would you do that? What if you knew that the next person you got to tell the gospel to would be the last person needed to fill up the body of Christ? Would that affect the way you think about individuals? Would it change the things you might do today? Since we cannot know who that last person is, why don't we treat every opportunity as the opportunity to reach the last person who will believe? Or better yet, why not treat every day as a day that is the last day that men might be saved? The truth of the matter is, we don't know that it's not. You don't know that today isn't the last day that you're going to be alive on this earth. If you're lost this morning listening to my voice, you know you're lost because you don't have the peace that passes all understanding. You don't have the assurance of knowing that if you were to die right now, you would spend eternity with the Lord. You don't have the guarantee of another heartbeat, another day, another minute. So why would you put it off? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Trust Him as your Lord and Savior and start serving the Lord, being used of Him with the gifts He's given you to tell others the gospel of Christ. And in so doing, we will earn that crown that will be to His glory in eternity. We would reign with Him. That same verse back there in 2 Timothy said, if we deny Him, He also will deny us. And He's talking about the reign. If we deny suffering, He'll deny us the reign. If you're saved, don't be denied the reign that can be yours. Serve the Lord. We've been created unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Why don't you walk in the Spirit for Christ's sake? And if you're lost, if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now, God promises He'll save you. Then you too can work toward having a crown that will be to His glory. And I imagine in my mind a day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, if I should receive a crown for the work I did, I can lay it at the feet of my Savior, thanking Him for what He did for me, showing appreciation for the fact that He died for my sins. Wouldn't you want to do that? Wouldn't you want to tell the Lord thank you, show Him that you really appreciated what He did for you at Calvary by laying a crown at His feet, saying, not my glory, Lord, but unto Thee and Thee alone, I praise Thy holy name. You've been listening to Believing the Bible every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 1580 KWED. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. If you would like more information, you can call me at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.